Hello, my ladies, my gays, my theys, and the men who get it. I am Reagan, and welcome back to the F the Nice Guy podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to listen to part one of this episode so you know what we're talking about, and we are jumping right back in with Kate and I's conversation about grooming.
A one, a two, a one, two. He's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he's screaming in your face. And he's a nice guy, such a nice guy, but he'll put you in your place. And he's a nice guy, what a nice guy, till he gets caught. He's a nice guy, such a nice guy, until he's not. F the nice guy.
What I'd love to talk about with you is also like how you can keep going back to these dudes. In Baby Reindeer, he does keep going back after something terrible has happened to him. Starting smaller and getting progressively worse. And it's like, yeah, I also stuck around.
Yeah.
Because it's like, they're so great to you. They adore you. It's like love bombing.
Yeah.
You're the greatest thing in the world, and they make you feel so good and so valid. And like, they see you and nobody else does. And you're this bright, shiny star and you're amazing. And then out of nowhere, they start to withhold that.
Yeah.
Or you do something quote unquote wrong and they're punishing you. And you're like, oh shit, I got to get back this amazing, wonderful feeling.
Right.
And then they do something shitty, but you know, it starts like a one-off. They do one thing and then they either ignore it or they apologize for it. And you're like, oh, well, this is just a one crazy thing that shouldn't have happened, but won't happen again, you know? And because all they do is give you this amazing, wonderful thing, you want to ignore the cognitive dissonance between how they've been and the bad thing they do. That right. One time, which by the way, is never one time.
Yeah.
And so you ignore it and then the pattern continues and the scales tip when before it was great stuff and the occasional bad thing, it starts to tip into horrible stuff and the occasional good thing. And you spend all your time fighting to get back the guy that you started with, which you think is your fault that he's gone. But the truth is he never existed in the first place.
It's an internal battle of like feeling like you got this person because you're so mature, because you're so intelligent for your age. And then like that being the same reason why something goes wrong. That's like that's what the blame gets put on. It's like, oh, you're so young. You're so naive. So it's like this dichotomy of like, okay, but I was smart enough and I was mature enough to get you in the first place. So I know I can get back there. And I'm just naive. I'm being too immature. I'm being age appropriate if we're being honest, but thinking like, but I have the ability to get back to what he needs. That's what attracted him to me in the first place. I know it's in there. I need to go back to that. Like, it's such a weird battle within yourself, you know, not being allowed to be a teenager, be age appropriate, because you're like fighting to be what you're not in order to win this prize that's put himself on a pedestal for you. And it's like, oh, it's gross to think back on, but.
And like the hardest realization, well, actually a lot of horrible shit happened to me, so maybe not the hardest realization. Realizing I was groomed was a fucking brutal. I didn't realize that till I was in my 30s doing trauma therapy. Yeah. And my therapist broke the news to me.
Yeah.
After I just had realized how much abuse I had suffered, which I also didn't realize because I thought it was my fault. And then she's like, and also you were being groomed, which she didn't say it like that. But I was right. Like, oh fuck, okay, great. This is a lot for one session. 10 more sessions, please. But, yeah. But one of the hardest realizations is like realizing like you weren't a mess. They weren't mad at you.
Yeah. You didn't do anything wrong.
You didn't do anything wrong. They knew the age you were when they dated you. They pursued you because of the age that you were. They just needed something to make you feel like shit.
Yeah.
They needed something they knew you would believe. And because you're young and they had the whole time pointed out how young you were, even though it had been in a positive light. Right? You're mature, but you're still young. And then they flip it on you when they're like, I told you all along you were young. I said I had a problem with it. I said this wasn't easy for me. And they make it a negative. So you can't even say you didn't know that it was going to be a problem. The truth is, it's not that. Because again, they wouldn't pursue you. They wouldn't have dated, like they wouldn't be dating, trying to date young girls if they were against them being young. It's this idea that they just need something to make you feel like shit. They just need something to get their hooks in. They just need something to tear you apart over.
Yeah.
And so it's like realizing how much time I spent trying to prove to a predator that I'm not as young and immature as I should be for my own fucking age that you pursued me because of.
Yeah.
That's not why they said that shit to you. They just needed to break you down.
Yeah. That was a really hard pill for me to swallow too, because in my early 20s, the two other guys that this happened with who were not people that I ever officially dated, I was able to grasp, like, in my early 20s, this was really wrong. Like, this person should not have been doing that.
Yeah.
But then I ended up dating, you know, during that same time that I was realizing this about interactions in my youth with these people, I was also actively dating this person who was the high school teacher. And that breakup tore me up pretty good. Like, that broke my heart. And I genuinely thought for a long time, probably close to my 30s, that I had been like the exception. And it genuinely just, like, it didn't work out because I was so young. And it really was that age gap that ended up tearing us apart. Because again, that's what ended up being the issue as we got towards the end of our relationship, was just like, you know, our age gap or whatever. And then he ends up marrying a girl who's like 4 years younger than me, who's a former student of his. And then it was like a punch in the gut, like, holy shit, this is like a serial groomer. Like, this was,
yeah,
it wasn't just me. He went and genuinely pursued someone wildly more inappropriate to be dating than even I was. And I had been made to feel like complicit and guilty and inappropriate for having been in this relationship with him, that we had some like dirty little secret that needed to be hidden. Mm-hmm. When at that point I dated this person twice, once briefly for a summer and then once for like a good chunk of like 6-7 months. And the second time I was 21 or 22 and he was like 27 or 28. So, you know, a manageable age gap or whatever. And still I was made to feel like it was my fault that the relationship broke apart because of that age gap, because I was still getting through college and he was this established teacher or whatever. And I carried that guilt for a really long time that I couldn't have made that work. And then he ends up being in the relationship he's currently in. And it was like a really tough realization that, like,
holy shit, he's a groomer.
Yeah. I think I aged out of his preferred.
Probably you did, honestly. Like, I know it's disgusting.
Because he went way younger than me. And
yeah.
And his concern the whole time, which I was not affiliated with his job in any way. I didn't even know anybody in the town that he worked in. So they didn't know anything about me. They wouldn't have even had to have known my age if he didn't want them to know my age. It's not like his friends were going to be like, how old are you? Because that wouldn't have been an appropriate conversation upon meeting like his colleagues right off the bat.
Right.
He made it seem like the biggest deal that we had this age gap, that we had to like keep our relationship secret, which is why he like introduced me as his friends to people.
That makes me think two things. One, those relationships are built on secrecy. So even if he didn't want it to be a secret, making you keep it a secret facilitates the abuse. But secondly, it's like, what the fuck was that dude up to?
Yeah.
That he was that scared. Because that makes me think he did some inappropriate shit that he didn't, like, he had to hide you because he didn't want the other stuff to come up.
Well, that's the thing. At that point, I was nearing, you know, the end of my college experience. Mm-hmm. So the girl he married was in class with him at that time.
Oh, God. So that timeline's kind of frightening.
Yeah. Like,
that was when he was very scared of people thinking he liked younger women.
He liked younger women. Exactly. Because.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. So it was a really like sickening realization. And now my husband is always like just immediate ick when we run into him, because he does come around where we vacation in the summer. We'll see him sometimes with his now wife and two kids, and it's just like, oh my God, it makes me so uncomfortable.
I think it's important to talk about the shame and the guilt that these men make you feel, like, to what you were expressing earlier, like he made you kind of feel dirty and guilty. So one of the huge parts of why, like, I didn't, one, understand I was groomed, but two, didn't understand how, because I was, to be honest, abused by this guy. But I didn't pick up on it for the longest time because, like, groomers have to push boundaries because they're taking it from a inappropriate relationship that they're having to aggressively make seem appropriate, right? Mm-hmm. That's the only way you keep talking to them. They're doing something to make you think they're a safe person. But they have to get from that to a relationship with you or whatever with you. And that takes a lot of effort and that takes a lot of boundary pushing. So they're, by nature of what they're trying to do, aggressive boundary pushers. And I remember, like, the first time I ever realized something's wrong with this dude, was he was pushing a boundary. He's trying to get me to do something I didn't want to do.
Right.
And so I kind of fired back at him. I think I cussed it. I said a cuss word in my phrase because he just wouldn't let up. And I just was like, I think I said, quit your bitching, I think. But like I was, you know, I had never had someone push me because I was known because I was gay. But like but at the time I just thought I was, you know, I was considered prude.
Right.
Like no guy had really pushed me ever. So I was really sheltered. Like any guy that dated me knew that about me. Like I had a reputation for being rude. And you know, I could tell you literally fucking every aspect of the room we were in. I can tell you the layout of the apartment. That's how, you know, it's like, oh, trauma.
Grained.
Yeah. But I was in his room and he was pushing me.
Yeah.
And I said, quit your bitching. Because he like literally he would constantly complain about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he got so irate with me. He screamed at me. And then he said, get the fuck out of my house. Or his apartment. Get the fuck out of my apartment.
Yeah, don't give him more credit than he deserves.
Yeah, excuse me. It was an apartment. But he said, get the fuck out of my apartment. Because I said, quit your bitching. Because he was literally like... And I don't cuss really normally, but it was like, because I was like, I didn't know what to say. I was like at my breaking point because he wouldn't stop pressuring me. And then he was dead serious. He made me collect all my things. We were like in the middle of something. And he said, get the fuck out of my apartment. And I got my stuff and he screamed at me and I left. We were not together when this was happening. And I remember thinking, okay, that's fucking over. And I was sobbing in my car because I had never had that happen.
Yeah.
Before anything scary like that. Yeah. And then he literally just pretended it didn't happen. Like just talked to me like it never happened. And like, I honestly wanted to think it didn't happen because it was horrifying. Mm-hmm. That was his pattern, is he would be horrible to me and then literally act like it didn't happen. And then my choice was either to start it again and say, hey, you did this, which then he would scream at me again.
Yeah.
Or to agree to ignore it because it was easier.
Easier.
Yeah. And that one I ignored because I was like, that must have just been some fluke crazy thing that he did that. And that was not a crazy fluke. That was how our relationship was. Guys, gals, gays, theys, anybody listening. If someone fucking pushes your boundaries, walk away.
Yeah.
Period. It's not okay. I don't care what the context is. I don't need to know. If you've said no to anything and someone keeps pushing, they don't respect your boundaries and it will get worse.
Yeah, it's not a one-off thing.
No. Someone who pushes boundaries, like that's not a one-time deal. Like that shows that they do not care about your consent.
Yeah.
Or that their needs supersede yours. Yeah, it was really scary. And that's kind of how everything happened, is I would set a boundary. He would know about the boundary. And then he would push it. He would actively and aggressively push it. And when I would stop him, he would... scream at me. I mean, scream like in my face. And he made me believe that the problem was not his action, but my reaction. Like my reaction to his abuse was the issue, not the abuse itself. Of all the things he did that like weren't the actual abusive acts, one of the most like cruel things he ever did was, I remember we were sitting and he was giving me a talk, which like he loved to give me talks. He's very condescending. You know what I mean? Like, here's how you need to be better. Sit down in my crunchy fucking apartment. Sit down in my crusty ass couch.
Let me coach you.
Yeah. Cause I know so much more. but he, again, I could paint you a picture of where we were when this happened. He sat me down and he 100% describes the freeze trauma response that would happen during whatever. I would fucking freeze, like like I mean, in to a detail would describe freezing.
Yeah.
But he didn't bring it up because he was concerned. He didn't bring it up to ask what was wrong. He literally brought it up because he wanted me to know that it was unattractive.
Oh, your trauma response is really off-putting to me.
No, Kate, I swear to God, he told me my trauma response was a turnoff, and that it was gross. Doing stuff with me was gross. Because I'm not responding right.
Love that for him. What a gentleman.
Sorry, I hope this is... I feel like I'm trying to keep it trauma light, but also I really do want people to understand what they do.
I think it's trauma light. I think you're doing a good job.
I'm not sharing a lot of things that happened, but that's just a very telling moment for me because I think, especially with people who groom...
Well, again, it's spinning it onto you.
Yes, I think... They're very, like, it's very easy to be like, oh, they didn't understand, or like, oh, this is, I was young, or whatever. But the truth is, as was very apparent to me, as is apparent to me now, not at the time, but looking back at that, like, they are acutely aware of what they are doing. They are, have malicious intent. They are actively manipulating you. And if ever I had any doubt that he knew I was not into what was happening, that pretty much clears that up because he knew and he wanted me to change it. Like, I remember crying to him about how I could fix that. Like I was like, what's wrong with me? I'm not attractive enough. I'm bad at this. I need to do better. I need to be better. That was the takeaway I had from
it's that. A very acute subset of abuse.
Yes.
Groomers.
Yeah.
Very specific.
Yeah, and I mean, they really get you to believe because of the age gap. It's like he, this, I'm not joking. This man had me fully convinced that I was some like grotesque, like mutant. Like I, you know, like I was some strange anomaly. Like the reality was I was gay and being abused and didn't like what was happening, but I didn't know that. But he did. Like he would always, he would talk about it. But he never talked about it like, we should stop doing stuff because you clearly are not about it. You're right. But it was always, you need to fix that. Through grooming, they really have the ability to make you think it's your fault. You're wrong. You're immature. You need to change. You need to fix. You need to fix yourself to be worthy of them. Mm-hmm. And it's like the whole time they're put out by you. It's like they're doing you a favor by even dating you. And you're just like fighting for the approval of absolute shit men, absolute predators.
I remember like being in my apartment with my roommates and feeling so ashamed by having my boyfriend come and visit because I was in an apartment. I was living a very age appropriate life as a college student. I had my own bedroom, had a nice private bathroom. But still, it was like he was able to instill some sense of shame that like that's all I could offer him. Mm-hmm. It was very weird to look back on and remember feeling that way. Like, look, what else was I supposed to give this person? What was I expecting of myself to be able to offer as a college student? Like, what? Here, let me take you up to my high rise apartment and I'll drive you around in my Mercedes. Like,
that's why they have to have that. They have to have something to shame you over. Like, that is the, it's a key part of grooming. Like, and you see the same behaviors in like narcissistic people or like you look at like the Jonah Hills of the world. He's just a good example. Like the things that he berated her over and made her think were absolute deal breakers were the reasons he was attracted to her. Mm-hmm. The fact that she surfed and posted bikini pictures. He then used that as this disgusting thing about her, why she was unworthy of him, right?
Yeah, why it only belonged to him.
Right. They attempt to make you ashamed of things they knew when they got with you. Mm-hmm. That's the thing you have to understand. Is like, there's no doubt these men knew. Like, when this guy dated me, he knew I was inexperienced. He knew I lived at home. He'd been talking to me since I was 16, 17. Like, he knew everything. He couldn't have known more. But yet, he would act surprised and grossed out and...
I just really didn't know it was going to feel like this. I just really didn't know it was going to be like this. It's like,
yes, you did.
Okay.
You were counting on it. If you would like, and that, Kate, no matter where you would have lived, no matter what your friends would have been like.
Yeah, I would have felt that way.
He would have made you feel like shit. I mean, like so I went to college, like I was supposed to go to LA, clearly didn't work out. Here I am, not in LA, but I was like casting a show and then the show got canceled. It's fine. It's whatever. But anyway, so I was 2 years behind So when I was in college, a lot of my friends were, you know, 2 years younger than me, which made them 10 years younger than him. And he would go to parties with me and he would act so annoyed and he would act so put out and he would make me feel so stupid for having friends and, you know, call them immature and like make fun of their behavior. And I remember being so embarrassed and feeling like, oh my God, my friends don't live up to your friends. Plot twist, Kate. His best friend was his cousin who would constantly get blackout drunk and run around. I mean, bolt. Fucking bolt. And we'd have to chase him down to find him.
But because it was happening at a bar where
But it
they're
was a
of
bar.
age,
Yeah.
you know,
But
and
he
not a
was of
house
age.
party.
Yeah. I mean, and
He was just a silly grown man.
he would do fucking karaoke and sing like an idiot, you know, and like he would just it was
It's his
just like
internalized shame. He knew damn well he shouldn't have been there, so he put the
Yes.
blame on you for it.
Right, 100%. You feel like an idiot because you're fucking 30, you know, you're near 30 and you're hanging out with college kids at
At
a
a house
party
party,
because you've groomed me. And it always makes like I have this weird like you know, there's questions you have. And it's like I know his friends knew some of the abuse that was going on because I know his friends saw him scream at me a couple times. And I mean unhinged screaming, not like not a fight. I mean absolutely berating me while I stood there. But I always am like, how much of the abuse did they know? What did they think was going on? Did they know? Did they know he was grooming me? Did they know how young I was when we started talking? There's so many questions. Because to my knowledge, like this fucking dude, like you just said you run into this guy. Like I've blocked him and I don't see him, thank God, because we don't live close to each other, but you know, this dude's just fucking living his life, having groomed me and abused me. And I'm just like, that's the shit that's so upsetting. Like, I don't know how you feel, but there are times I'm like, God damn. I was 30 when I figured it out and it was too late.
I always think about the his wife now. Like,
Ugh.
is she ever gonna realize how inappropriate? Like, it's like Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher. Like, is Mila ever
Yeah.
gonna catch on to
To
what?
the way he treated her when she was 14.
Yeah, to having been groomed to marry the person she has children with now. Like,
No, I don't think. No, I
I
don't think
don't.
Mila Kunis is, but like at some point, because those guys' behaviors don't stop. I don't think he's gonna stop being a predator. So I don't think he's gonna stop flirting with younger girls.
His own dad, this guy's own dad, I ran into at a fundraising event, and I was pregnant with my first daughter. And I loved his parents. He to this day, they well, I loved his dad. He was great. So I went up and like said hi to him. I was like, hey, how's it going? And he was like, oh, congratulations. We were doing our gender reveal at this fundraiser. So like
That's
he
awesome.
knew it had been like advertised because they had helped us fundraise for IVF, whatever. That doesn't matter. But he knew. And so we were talking about, starting a family and stuff. And he even said, I remember he was like, yeah, blank is getting married and she's pretty young. And he was like, but they got to really get on it because he's getting up there. And it, like, he was even trying to like acknowledge, like, you could tell I was not the appropriate person to be saying these things to, but if he
Right.
was saying it to me, then he had certainly been
Yeah.
expressing his concern to people closer to him because it was freaking concerning. It's
Yeah.
like, and he still works at the school
That's so
where
gross.
she went. Like, how you couldn't even introduce me as your girlfriend, having not known a single person at that school, but you can still show your face there being married to a student in your class at that school.
Ugh.
What?
You know what?
The audacity.
Here's two audace filled things. So I'll give you two audaces. That odd ass man. Ooh, odd ass, what would that be?
Odd ass, man.
Odd ass, so much ad. It's audacity in here. Oh, we shouldn't laugh when we're talking about grooming.
No,
Anywho,
sorry.
so speaking of, so after we broke up, so this guy, I don't know what the devil had against me at this time in my life, but the devil done worked hard for this situation. So, trying to think, I was probably like 22, 23 at the time, and the people that were at college were 2 years under me. Okay. So, there was a guy who was younger than me who, so I was dating a guy at the time. This is after him and I, the groomer and I broke up. I was dating a new guy who was younger than me, which, hey, that didn't work out either. Older didn't work, younger didn't work. Turns out it was men in general. But I was dating him. Now, he had dated a friend of mine, had kind of dated a friend of mine, and she broke it off with him. It was kind of a big deal, before I knew them. And then she was dating this other guy who we'll call Greg. That's not his name.
Brag.
But Greg was an asshole. He was horrible. Like, Greg was a piece of shit. And so I was constantly trying to get her away from him because, I mean, he was just like narcissistic, cocky. He was like a film guy. He was an actor, which, oh, they're the worst sometimes. But he would just be awful to her. That was basically it. She adored him. He would be awful to her. Anyway, so him and I did not get along because if you treat my friends like shit, we don't get along.
Right.
And I am very, like, you know it. Like, I'm not about to be nice to you if you're treating my friend like crap. I'm just not. So to ask any of my friends' exes who treated them poorly, they don't like me.
Good thing to be known for.
I'm also not a good liar, so my face gives it all away. But I hate Greg.
Cake rocks.
Greg kick rocks. But anyways, so one day, this is post me hating him and us not getting along. Greg walks up to me and he's like, "Hey," with a shit-eating grin, you know? Which is lived on his face. And I was like, "What?" Because I'm like, first of all, don't talk to me.
What?
What do you
What
want?
do you want?
What do you want, you spawn of Satan? And he's like, "Hey, I'm working with your ex." And I was like, "What?" Because I'm going through like the school. I'm like, "Who have I dated here?" And he's like, and then said the groomer's name. And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, I'm interning at blank and he works there." And I was like, "What fucking hell is this? This guy
Oh
I
no.
hate is now working with
Teaming
and
up with,
teaming BFF with my ex, which they started a campaign of fucking with me." Like, Greg would fuck with me, he would talk to the groomer guy about it. They would fuck with my ex. They would like purposefully, they both. And I'm like, yet again, I'm like, "Hey, what's a fucking 30-year-old doing being BFF with a guy, a young guy in college and fucking with his ex? Like, real cool, real cool." So that was a saga of my life. I was just like, "What fucking world is this?" Like,
I can't escape
I
you.
can't explain enough. This groomer guy had nothing to do with my school. He had nothing to do with me at this point. I had not seen him, not been around him purposefully. And all of a sudden, my least favorite guy on the planet in my
Befriends
school
him.
is his buddy. I'm like,
What
you know
fresh
what?
hell?
I was like, "Devil, you've done it again." Ugh, just the thought of them being the shitty little, like, let's fuck with Reagan. Like, oh, God.
Beavis
Truly.
and Butthead.
Oh, God. Anyways, they're both so gross. But then this was not that long ago. This was like 3 years ago, maybe, like 3 or 4. I get a message on Facebook. This has been a decade since I dated the groomer. Like, we did not end on good terms. I don't know if you've heard this episode, but basically, we got into a fight on Christmas Eve where he threw all my stuff at me after screaming in my face so aggressively that I was pinned against my car and I thought he might hit me. No joke. He got all my shit at 2 in the morning. He threw my bag with my laptop, threw it on the ground, said Merry fucking Christmas, and locked me out of the apartment building. Not knowing if I was sober or drunk, leaving me to drive home at that time of night and literally like out of the apartment building, not just his room, but out of the apartment in a bad part of town at night. Merry
Out of
fucking
that luxury
Christmas.
apartment of his.
Yes, the luxury apartment in the luxury part of town. That's how it ended. So not on good terms. And I get this message, and this girl basically was like, "Hey, you know, I'm part of the queer community. I have some questions," which I'm always down to talk about that stuff, right? But I'm like, from who? Like, how did you? Because I didn't know her. She's like, "Oh yeah, I'm groomer's friend." And I was like, at the time, I should have said something, but at the time, I was so
Not
bewildered.
interested.
Well, I
Pass.
know. Well, I should have said, "Hey, he's a groomer. He's a like a SA
Abuser.
abuser." Yeah, I should have said that. But I was so thrown off by it. I just talked about the gay stuff. I was like, gay stuff. But the fact that this dude, after all the abuse and the grooming, was fucking using my name, let alone saying my name, like yeah. even mentioning me, but using me as a reference to his friend. He was like, oh yeah, he was said something about you and your wife. And I'm just like, what the fuck?
You became his token lesbian associate.
Yeah. You know, I abused a lesbian once.
Yeah. I got someone you could talk to. She'd be happy.
Yeah. I weaponized her gayness for my own advantage to abuse her. Why don't you talk to chat with her? Like the balls on this man.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. Like, what if I guess he knows I'm not going to out him because I didn't. But like, can you imagine? Well, I can't imagine abusing anyone, but like abusing someone. And it was horrific. Just, like, I'm not going to get into it, but it was absolutely terrible. Yeah. But doing that and then saying, oh, yeah, I have someone gay you could talk to.
She'll do me a favor.
I hadn't even spoken to him. The last time we talked, I was straight. Mm-hmm. So me being not straight and me being married, this is all fucking post him doing all the things yeah. he did. But he's like, yeah, you can reach out to her. I'll extend her on your behalf. Like, that's fucking nuts. I honestly, like, and I when I typed out everything he did to me, like, one of the last things I said was, I honestly don't think he remembers things that I'll never forget.
Yeah.
Like, I don't mean that because, like, oh, he didn't know it was bad. I mean, because it was such a pattern for him because he felt so entitled to abuse me that, like, I don't even think it registered. Like,
just
I bet
a normal
it was,
day.
Yeah, just another Tuesday.
Yeah.
Tuesday, abuse day. No, I shouldn't joke.
Trauma for you is just
yeah,
Tuesday
it's just
for him.
Tuesday. Yeah, I yeah. honestly believe that. Like, I think if I like said, and I mean, I can give a detailed account of some of the things that happened. I think if I said that to him, he'd be like, I don't know what you're, what? When?
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Pull
like,
that's, one of those. I never said that.
I don't think he thinks that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy.
It's the mark of a narcissist. They create their own narrative and they repeat it so many times. Either they don't remember it genuinely because mm-hmm. it was such a pattern.
Yeah.
Or they change the narrative in their own brains until they genuinely believe
mm-hmm.
it's a made up story.
I mean, I think he is a narcissist. So I think that's part of it. But I also think it's like, because of that narcissism and self-centeredness, like I think he thinks he was being abused almost, like yeah. I was withholding from what yeah. he deserved from me physically, and that anything he did was just out of him having to react
frustration to yeah.
yeah which yeah. I think me and the law would disagree. Have you heard of coercion, motherfucker? Ugh.
Yeah,
I swear to yeah. God, the day people understand coercion, the day women, what, fuck that, everybody, the day everybody mm-hmm. has a real, real good grasp on coercion, people are fucking in trouble. Predators yeah. are in trouble because there are so many stories that I know of people that like qualify as that. It's like, yeah. that should be like, I don't know that I would have wanted to like do a full trial or anything like that, but like, damn, that's why, like, when I think about like the what is it called, the statute of limitation on stuff,
mm-hmm.
this one was a doozy because literally I mean, I'm not joking, like this is how grooming is and abuse is. Like I used to yeah. go, Kate, I swear to God, I used to go around telling people I hadn't been abused.
Yeah.
Like because I like yeah. I would say like I got stalked, it was horrible, but I used to say that was, I, you know, this is the most traumatic thing that's happened to me, I've been really lucky. I didn't even know what happened to me until I got into therapy.
Unpacked it.
Yeah. And my yeah. therapist, like, my therapist is not easily shook. Like, I've said mm-hmm. some crazy shit to her before. And she's really, you know, relaxed. I mean, when I was detailing some of the stuff that happened, she was, like wide-eyed. And, like, she had to, like, take a second. And she was like, I am so sorry that happened to you. And I was like, oh, what? What? And she was like, you realize that that's what that is, right? You realize that that's not consent, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did he know you didn't want to do those things? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay. I was like, oh my God. And yeah, like I said, I went through all of that, realizing,
yeah.
and it was extensive and it was over a long amount of time. And again, it's with the subtle boundary pushing that you don't realize it's happening. They don't just immediately do something terrible. They push boundaries until you're confused on the boundaries. And then you think it's your fault when the boundaries cross. That's what they mm-hmm. do. That's what they do. And then I was like, well, we started talking when I was 16. She's like, okay, hold on. How old were you? And what was the conversation? And she's like, okay, that's grooming. I'm like, oh,
Shit.
God damn it. But I literally didn't,
Oh.
I'm honestly, it's not that I didn't remember it, because I think people do a lot of pushback. I think I 100% believe in like blocking out shit and recovering shit.
Oh,
I
for sure.
wholeheartedly believe it. Some people don't. Some people do not believe in that. But it wasn't that. That's not what happened. I didn't block anything out. I knew everything that happened. I chose not to think about it, but I
Yeah.
remembered all of it. It was just that I didn't understand what was happening to me. And
Yeah.
I had been so skillfully convinced that it was my fault and something was wrong with me. And almost like he was, the abuse was helping me. Like he was pushing me past this thing that was wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like he was fixing me, you know, which is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
But I really did think that. And so it's like, when you hear people, like the statute of limitation, when you hear people not realizing they are abused, like I didn't at all. I definitely didn't know it was
Yeah.
groomed. That took a long time to figure it out. Because
I didn't even know like grooming was a thing when I was young. Like I
oh
didn't know
Jesus.
that as a
Yeah.
thing.
I didn't know it as a thing for older girls.
Yeah, it wasn't something that was like talked like you hear about, oh, don't get on the internet, you don't know who you're talking to, like when we were
Sure.
younger, an AOL chat.
Sure.
Like that obviously was a
Sure.
clear overstep of a boundary, but like I didn't know to look for it amongst like people you knew in real life, like in
Right.
dating situations, and it just wasn't something that was even on my radar as being a
Right.
possibility that like an older man could be manipulating me in that way.
Right. And that it would be like, I guess in grooming, you think like the creepy old guy
Yeah.
with a van who
No,
you would
these were
like.
attractive men. These were
That's the
men
crazy
that were
part.
desired
Right.
by, yeah. And so it was like, it never crossed my mind that that was a possibility. I was the young girl who was getting the guy the other girls wanted. Like,
Yeah. That's the thing is like the guy I dated, by the time I dated him, he was not attractive, but my rose-colored glasses saw him as a young guy. But like when he was the age that I met him, when I was in high school, let me be clear, he was attractive. Like he was
Yeah.
funny. He was kind of doofy. I mean,
Yeah.
clearly he was not as funny as I thought when I reread those text messages, but I thought he was funny. He was
Yeah.
funny in a high school way. But he definitely was able to get with girls his own age.
Oh, for sure.
But
And
it
they're
wasn't
always
about that.
charming. It's
Yeah.
always like part of it. It's like they have to be in order for it to
Get to
work.
work. It's
Yeah.
so crazy to me because I'm like, again, you know, I think it's the same thing as it is with narcissism, as it is with grooming. It's like you'll never understand it because if you understood it, you'd be one. You know,
Yeah.
like you can't understand
Right.
narcissism
I could
unless you're.
never imagine doing to a boy that with
Ugh,
that age difference,
ugh. Ew,
me
ew.
being older, like that feels so viscerally wrong to me.
And it is.
Yeah,
And it
and
is.
to like know and think about it and reverse it, like, well, shit, that was me in this scenario is like kind of makes me sick to my stomach.
When you hit the age they were and you're like, oh my God.
I could never.
I wouldn't even want to talk to someone. No offense. But like, I'm
No.
not chatting with a. I'm 33. You know, it's not that old, like far off of. Where I was mentally, like where he would have been at the time. You know, it's like, what the fuck? Like, I would not wait. I talk to kids who are in high school and I'm like, oh, little
Like you're a
babies. You're
baby.
a baby.
Yeah. What a
Nothing wrong with
dork.
that. Nothing wrong with that. But you are
Yeah.
a baby. And it's like, I just,
But that's a healthy divide
right.
because we
Yes, it
are
should be.
adults. Like, you know.
Yes, it's disgusting. But it's also like, I think about. Like the time this man put in, I'm not joking. He met me one time in person. He chatted with me until like I think we met like once or twice when I was 18, like just to hang out at his apartment or get coffee, whatever the fuck you, we, he, whatever. So we didn't, nothing happened until I was 20. So he talked, you know, 3 or 4 years of just constantly like
Long-term
communicating with
project for
me
him.
and checking in with me. Yeah. All for the sake of dating me, which did happen, but it's like that's a lot of manipulation. That's a lot of work to put into wanting to absolutely demolish a person. And like,
Yeah.
what is wrong? Like, I need to get an expert on grooming on here or something, because I'm just,
it's
like,
got to be in their brain for sure. It's something mentally wrong with these people. The buildup is the game for them. And then it's the check mark of succeeding and like snagging you and dating you or whatever it is that their goal was. And then once that, you know, high wears off, that's when the abuse happens. Cause it's like, never did these situations for me or anybody that I know that this happened to, they never lasted, at least in a healthy way, for very long.
Yeah.
It just divulged into an abusive relationship very quickly.
And I usually don't want to talk about these things, cause I try and keep it trauma light, but like when I was seeing people online be like, that's crazy. That from that show, Reindeer, yeah. Baby Reindeer, be like, that's crazy that he went back, or that's crazy, you know, he's complicit. It's like, I feel like there's such a misunderstanding of grooming, and it really upset me. Watching it, I felt, obviously my situation was different, but the manipulation in it, and I don't want to give it away, but like, even the way, like the person who's doing the grooming in that, the way he, like, you could, like, he idolized him, you know, like the lead character idolized this guy, and like this guy made him feel special and amazing, and like he saw him, and I was like, oh my god, yes, it's that it's like they're this bright shining thing, and they're like shining their light on you, and they make you feel amazing, and then they just subtly do these little things, and you're like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah.
And you wanna, they're like, the amount of attention they give you, and they get you addicted to, almost, because at some point it is chemically addicting, like when someone, especially if they're using, in the show they do use drugs and alcohol, which then it really is chemically addicting, but you can get addicted through a trauma bond with dopamine, and like they can get you hooked on them, literally, like where you have withdrawals if you're not around them. And you know, he would just come across as so nice, and then you do something horrible, and like there's such dissonance even watching it. And I was like, damn, that is it. That is how I felt that dissonance when he would be, because he would be like, he would be the life of the party. He was the friend everybody loved and knew they could turn to. He was the goofy, silly, and that's what he would be. And then behind closed doors, I would do the wrong thing, and he would just turn into this monster, you know? And it was like, it was one of the best I don't know that I've ever seen like a really good grooming example. Like, it's usually like with like a kid groomer, like on TV.
Yeah.
It's rarely like, cause in this one, he's of age and the guy is like 50, I think, older. He's like 20, in his 20s. And so
you're talking on Baby Reindeer.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
And I had not seen that, because mine started when I was young. So it was technically grooming, like of a younger person, but like when it was really ramping up, I was in my 20s. And I just hadn't seen that realistic. It's really graphic at certain points, so just for everybody knows.
But yeah, I'm just getting started. I'm gonna watch it. I'm probably binge it for a few hours tonight.
It's really, it's very interesting. I really, and just so you know, the guy who's the lead is actually, this is a true story, and it's him playing it.
That's why I got sucked in, because I read the story about why he wrote it first, because I saw a TikTok about it, and then I was like, oh, this sounds interesting. And then I saw that it went into the top 10 on Netflix, so I was like, okay, I'm sold.
I could never relive my trauma like that.
Like, I think there's something really, not, I don't want to say beautiful. That's absolutely not the word I'm looking for, but, the way that he can, just from the little bit that I've seen so far, the fact that he wrote it and is also performing in it, there's going to be a really unique portrayal, because he's coming from a place of very personal attachment to the story. It's, you're going to be seeing it from a really unique perspective. That's going to be, different than if you were to have cast someone in the role.
And that was the thing for me watching it. Like, again, I normally cannot watch that stuff for obvious reasons now that I've told the story. But like any essay, like I have a visceral response to, and I just can't. But I was able to get through it. One, it was the way it was shot, because it's artistic in a way. Mm-hmm. So it's not graphic. I mean, it is graphic, but you're not seeing it.
Yeah, it's
kind of like, it's like framed very in a choice way, but like it's very focused on his experience of it. And I was just watching this and I was like, oh my God, this is so realistic. Like the way he was responding, and like, you see them, you see the good times before, you see when it's happening, you see the after, you see the moments where the groomer turns it on and off. Like it's visceral and his response is so realistic. And that's what I think kept me watching, because normally I'd be like, turn it off. But I was just like, oh my God, this is so real. And it's because he lived it.
And even now that it's come out, he was so intent to protect her identity. Even now, after
Didn't work
releasing
out,
this,
but
yeah, I mean, there's sleuths on the internet. I wouldn't trust
yeah.
TikTokers alone were able to figure out exactly who it was, but he did it. He could have, like.
No, because he makes it very clear in it. So there's a woman in it who stalks him, and he made it, like, it's really bad, but I won't get into it because I don't want to spoil it. But he makes it very clear that he thinks she has a mental illness and that she didn't control what she did, and that his need for validation was a key part in it, and that he knows he played a part in it. As someone who has been stalked, that's definitely a nicer take than I would have, because that was one of the worst experiences I've ever had. And that guy was also had mental stuff going on, but I was like, you know enough to be in college.
There's a podcast episode about it, right? Yeah, one of the earlier ones.
I don't remember what the title is.
Yeah, that was pretty intense.
Yeah, it was horrible. It should very intense. But he's much kinder than I would have been because of what I experienced and how scared I was. And there's a line for me where it's like, there are mental health issues going on, I think, with anybody stalking anybody, but you are actively choosing to terrorize someone. I guess hers was very unhinged. But
I need to
anywho,
finish it so I have more
yeah,
context.
you can finish it. I'm not gonna spoil anything else. I hope I didn't spoil anything.
No,
But
no,
point
no, no.
being, like, it's a very good, like,
Depiction.
seeing how he responded to it. I saw myself a lot in it, because like I don't feel like it's talked about enough how confusing that type of abuse is. Because like I think most people think if you're abused, you'd know. But that's not true. And
Bit
like
easy to
he
say from an outside
right, sure.
perspective.
But he really captures like confusion. He really captures not understanding what's happening to him, being torn, wanting to ignore it. Like, I mean, a lot of what was when it was ha stuff was happening to me, like I was confused most of the time. And stuff like there's a stunned like he there's like a you can tell there's just like kind of freezing happening, which is my response to things. But he just has I mean, it happened to him, so I guess he's acting, but not really. But he really captures that.
Even in the first 30 minutes, this isn't giving anything away because it's literally the first scene of the show. But when he goes in to like re report it, that scene where he freezes at the desk with the cop, and he can't even like fumble to get like the evidence that he needs to prove it, even though there's a plethora of it. He like ends up showing a message just like, I've had an egg. Like
Hers is
it's
like, what?
right off the bat, you can see that like that struggle and that dynamic, I feel like.
Yeah, and I think anyone listening to this, I guess two parts. One, like, I hope people have a little more empathy and understanding for grooming and the other ways it can look and how insidious it is, how it happens over time, how someone can get roped in and not know how to get out. And also, I hope this episode is validating for anyone who's been groomed. If you've been groomed, first of all, I'm so sorry that happened to you. It is not your fault, and you are not alone. Because like I said, I didn't even realize it had happened until I was 30.
It's a thing for a reason because it works.
It works. It's very confusing. It is a lonely experience.
It's very jarring.
It's jarring. But like, when it's happening, you're isolated, because even before they do anything bad to you, you're isolated because you're keeping it a secret. And it's a fun secret, but it is a secret. And then when they're harming you, it's a secret still.
And then when you realize a decade later that it happened to you.
It's isolating again. And it's really hard. It's really hard to, like, for me, like, I was just like, holy shit, I never even held them accountable for any of that because I didn't know about it.
And even to be able to like verbalize it to the people who did know you at that time feels really silly because it's like so much like for me, I think I have one friend who I maybe could like openly talk to about that relationship with, because otherwise, why would I ever bring that? It would feel trivial to bring it up to people that I was 10 years later with at that time. Like, why would, why are you waiting till now? And it's like, cause I didn't realize till now what was happening to me. So it is very lonely because you just can't really ever hash it out with anybody but your therapist.
Hey therapist, and you're paying them. You don't talk about it then. You don't talk about it. The breakups are brutal. You don't talk about it then. You process the breakup, but you're not processing the grooming. So then you have to reprocess it a decade later.
Yeah.
And it's
like a different type of disappointment when you hit that point. But you're not alone. It has happened to so many people.
Including us.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really rough. And, you know, there's not a lot of like justice for it, because by the time you realize it, it's already done. The window of opportunity. But I actually, like I said, I've actually decided I'm going to talk about it. My personal, it's
justice in itself.
Yeah, I'm gonna use his first initial. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that some people, like at least to the people I know, will know what happened. I can say what happened freely, even though I'm not gonna say his full name, because I'm like, he's the devil, so he could sue me. What do I, you know? I can't prove what he did, I guess. Although I do have screenshots of the things he said.
Right.
But yeah, I'm going to say something, because I'm like, I didn't say anything, you know, I want to, so I'm going to be honest. And, you know, if conversations happen, then I am going to talk about that with the people who talk to me about it, which will hopefully be cathartic in some way.
If you're not saying his name, it's going to be like the shit pie scene in The Help. Like, huh? What is her name? Have you ever seen The Help, when she makes,
forgot about that.
She can't out herself in the book and let people know that it was her that ate the shit pie, so she just has to stay quiet. Like,
you don't say
his name, he's not gonna.
Don't say. Then you're the one that ate the shit pie.
You're that initial guy in her story.
Tell the world what you did. Yeah,
out yourself. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I don't think he will. So he's blocked anyways.
Yeah,
but you know, I'm proud of myself that I'm gonna say something, because I hadn't.
Yeah.
And it's okay if you don't say something, because you don't have to. Like, I don't want to make it seem like that's like the goal.
That's your journey. That's your choice.
But this is mine, and I'm kind of excited because I kept it a secret.
Yeah.
So I'll probably post a video on TikTok too.
Do it.
I'll do it.
I'm here
for it. Anyways, well, thanks for listening to our, this will probably be the trauma heaviest episode we've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah.
But how can you not? I mean, it's grooming, so. I don't know. You can't talk about it without talking about it.
Yeah, right.
But thank you, Kate, for being so open and honest. This is not, I think both of us are like bright red and almost cried a couple times.
I know, it's weird. It's a interesting place to unpack a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hey,
happy,
you know,
to do it.
We got each other.
Yeah, we each understand.
I know. The fact when you were like, did he ever drunk text you? I'm like, did he ever?
Yeah. All three of the people that I have experiences with this did that. Like,
really?
It's a pattern. Yeah. Even the one I dated after the fact, I would get like drunken, you know, it wasn't so much at the stage of grooming anymore, but a lot of, you know, drunk words or sober thoughts. Is that what they say?
But I think it's also boundary pushing, because if you push back, then they can be like, oh, I was drunk.
Sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah.
He used to literally, this groomer, this would be the last thing I say. He would, when I was going, I thought I was going to LA, which I wasn't. He was like, oh, I'm going to learn to play the guitar and I'm going to play for you and I'm going to sing to you. I was like, bro.
Blizzard. Sorry.
Oh, I don't even think he could do that. I don't even think he didn't know how to play guitar. I'm like, shut up, dude. Shut up. Ugh, yeah. Gross. But yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here. Thank you to everyone who's listening, because you've done me and Kate like a huge service just by listening to us tell the stories we didn't get to tell. And now here you are. So we appreciate you. We love you. We have a Patreon if you want to donate to that helps support the podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure to leave us a review because that always helps. If you have a story you haven't told that you want to, I encourage you to share it with someone you trust or a therapist because it's incredibly helpful.
We got to get some listener submissions.
Man. I know. I have a whole log of them. I need to go through them. Life's hard sometimes.
I know, there's a lot.
But I'll get to it.
We're moms.
It's rough. But thank you again to everyone for listening. Thank you to Kate for being amazing. And as always, my friends,
F the nice guy.